Have you ever wondered how sound can heal, inspire, and transform your life? What if the vibrations around you could unlock your true potential and guide you to a deeper sense of harmony? Welcome to Sound Pathways, the groundbreaking journey into the healing power of sound, creativity, and connection with your host, Dr. Karen Olson. In each episode, she explores the profound link between your mind, body, and spirit. From composers and musicians to sound healers and visionary leaders, she'll dive into captivating conversations that reveal how sound shapes your reality, heals our wounds, and helps us manifest our dreams. And guess what? You're part of the conversation. So call in and ask questions and experience personalized sound healing live. And let your sound be your guide to the life you've always dreamed of.
Hello and welcome to Sound Pathways, where we explore the power of sound, vibration, and creativity. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Olson, and today we're talking about awakening to renewal, rebirth of spirit, dreams, and community. Awakening to new dreams, to deeper meaning, and the joy of sharing together. My guest is author and seeker, Forest Rivers. He's the author of The Hippie Revival, Collective Writings, and Humanity's Spiritual Rebirth, Lessons Lived and Learned from a Pandemic. Forrest draws from personal experience, diverse traditions, and reflections on nature. He's a lover of earth and is inspired by his hiking and by his dog and by everything in life. His book pairs stories with meditations to help readers cultivate inner faith, self-empowerment, and renewal. Forrest, I am so delighted to welcome you to this show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute honor to be with you today.
Thank you so, so much. So what first inspired you and gave you the first spark to write Humanity's Spiritual Rebirth?
Yeah, so I wrote this book, actually, the first draft of it during the height of the pandemic. And what I saw during that time was widespread suffering, emotionally and spiritually, physically. And it seemed like people were real down. You heard about high depression rates and anxiety during that time. That sadly has only escalated. And I felt like humanity needed an injection of positivity to help us evolve into the highest version of ourselves. And out of that moment of great struggle, of great suffering for many, I also saw within it the possibility for rebirth, the idea that sometimes our suffering, our deepest struggles end up being our greatest blessings, Karen. Absolutely, yes. Our greatest blessings. And so I felt inspired to write this book to inspire hope in people that we could use this suffering for our own spiritual awakening. And I truly believe that I'm standing, that is the whole point of suffering in the first place, which is to build greater resiliency and strength and inner faith that allows us to go boldly into the light.
Beautiful. Where were you located during the pandemic?
Most of the time I was in Colorado, and I was in a small little apartment in the middle of a canyon.
That was a good place to be.
It was incredible. You know, I had nature out my front door, and it served as an absolutely inspiring backdrop to be able to write this book.
Wow. I was in Long Island and near Queens. I actually drove by the hospital, one of the worst hit, and saw all the freezer trucks outside to collect all the bodies. It was really, really profound.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And that we came through it all. And what does spiritual rebirth mean in everyday life?
Spiritual rebirth to me means to redefine or deepen our connection to the living spirit. And I say redefine to mean that we're constantly being birthed into the living spirit over and over and over again. It's like the natural cycling of the seasons. And to me, a rebirth is to sort of rediscover in a whole new way possible of our eternal, beautiful connection to the divine.
Yeah, and it's always there. It's almost circular as you speak about our connection with others and above. It's almost like a rotating circle in all directions. And what personal experience do you feel shaped you the most for your understanding about renewal?
Definitely overcoming alcohol abuse. So
Wow.
I had a history of serious struggle with alcohol abuse.
That's
And
big. That's a big thing to overcome.
it's a big thing. And many people have done it, and it's
Yeah.
inspiring and absolutely breathtakingly profound to come out on the other side. And for me, going through that period really awakened something in me, a greater appreciation for life, the
Beautiful.
importance of developing a personal relationship with the divine, with spirit, with Brahman, with God, whatever name you want to use to explain the ultimate ground of our being.
That's
So
beautiful.
that shaped me a lot, Karen,
Is that
to
that
go
was,
through that struggle.
oh, I'm sure, because it's not just the drinking or whatever addiction, we all have different things that we can turn to that aren't things that really lift us up. You have to look at the reasons behind it
Absolutely.
inside of ourselves, and that's a really is a daily thing. And there are periods when there's big awakenings when to have that gift of being able to see ourselves, because it's something I have trouble understanding why we're the main people that can't see our weaknesses, but other
Absolutely.
people can. So they really need a community and the ability to trust other people's ideas, even if at the moment we want to be defensive. And that goes for little things and big things. Yeah.
Absolutely. You just mentioned something so beautiful, Karen, is that is the absolute importance of connection and community. And actually, interestingly enough, it was the power of community, a sangha, that helped me out of the alcohol abuse. It was a beautiful Buddhist sangha that I joined, and I don't identify with any particular one religion or faith. In this case, it happened to be a Buddhist sangha in Nashville, Tennessee, where I was living at the time. And I found a really beautiful meditation teacher who himself had overcome drug addiction and alcohol abuse. And he had become trained, actually through Jack Kornfield's lineage out in California. And he had been trained Spirit Rock Meditation. That was the name of it. And being associated with this community absolutely transformed me from the inside out. Obviously, I still have my own work to do and quite a bit of it. But that's where I felt there was this sense of a spiritual rebirth for me. That's where I started feeling truly connected to something greater than myself. And prior to that experience, and then months before, a few months before that, a trip to Hawaii of this connection with nature, I didn't really feel connected to the world. And I think that was at the root of my drinking. On the surface, I had friends and, and I had my great family, but I didn't feel internally connected to the natural way of things. And the power of that community at that sangha was life-changing. Yeah.
That's beautiful. I want to respond to that. But first, what is a sangha?
So a sangha is just a spiritual community. It's a community of spiritual seekers. And the term sangha comes out of like the Buddhist tradition. And it just means a spiritual community of seekers that are uplifting each other day by day.
That's beautiful.
Everybody in that community, it's nothing but love. There's no judgment. There's an understanding that everybody starts, at it with a different set of circumstances to overcome. And
That's
there's no
beautiful.
judgment, only love. Yes, it's beautiful. So it's a spiritual community of seekers looking to uplift one another. And we need more of that in this world,
Yeah, we all
Karen.
need that. And
So
to
much more of
find
it.
that and create it. And I think in all different religions, there's a different format, a different way. Like it could be called a congregation or it could be called so many different things. But the key
Satsang.
is to
Yep.
be, yeah. Satsang is to be connected through our hearts for the better good of all. And one thing I think when you come into groups is letting go of comparison and jealousy and ways we can get triggered into guilt and shame or being uplifted so that we can forgive and all those things that help us rise higher in our energy. And I really feel a strong message about addiction because basically it's trying to solve something in a way that doesn't solve it, and then we just want more of it. And so we keep trying in that way, and we don't see that it's just getting the hole, we're digging a hole deeper for us to, and then all the negativity piles on top. So to be lifted out of that is really grace. And it's just the surrender. And I wrote a book, Sound Path, using the power of sound and silence for health, harmony, and happiness. It tells stories about myself and also a loosely based 12-step program, which is serenity strings, serenity, trust, reflect, inspiration, new ways, gratitude, and
Huge.
sharing. And based on being able to be aware, to trust, to let go. And the full circle is when we're able to give back. That is the greatest gift because then we receive so much more. So there's so many ways about talking about that, but it's really great that you're sharing in this particular way. And I guess, let me think, the pandemic, for a lot of people that would be hitting a bottom. As they say, when, what else was left? You couldn't go out of your house to buy whatever or do whatever. I mean, you could order in, right? But anyways, we were really left with the basics of life, and we let nature have a little rest too. So it was so powerful. And can you give us any examples of how you feel the pandemic shaped us as individuals and as a whole?
Yeah, I think one of the most profound things that we got from that period that we should be carrying forward with us into this present moment is the power of connection. I think so many of us took our connection, the blessing of our connections, for granted. And this pandemic forced us to really look deep within ourselves and acknowledge how important, how instrumental connection truly is. After all, Karen, what is connection but an expression of the divine intelligence that naturally binds us and harmonizes all things? That is what connection fundamentally is about. And so I think being deprived of so much connection, you mentioned, Karen, being stuck in our houses, being cut off from our friends, being cut off from our family, it made us really appreciate the power and importance of connection. And also something else you mentioned, Karen, gratitude. That period taught us so much about gratitude. And having gratitude for the small things in our lives. And that's, so I'd say connection, gratitude, and then also the importance, another thing we took from that period was the importance of our own mental, emotional, and spiritual health. That time was filled with anxiety, as is the modern day. I mean, we're only a few days or a week out from a really dramatic political assassination. So that kind of anxiety is still in the air. And we learn how truly important it is to focus inwardly and cultivate greater spiritual awareness and emotional and mental health. So I think there's a lot that we could take from that period to help move us forward with any crises we're facing in our individual or collective lives.
Yeah, it's really so profound, and we were actually part of history. The day will come when it's just in the kids' history book and they'll read about it, like the different pandemic in the 20s or whatever, we can read about it. But to have lived that experience in life and really facing death, because we all knew somebody who had someone die from it, if it wasn't someone that we knew. And thankfully we're here talking and can celebrate life, and especially the suffering in the death, that they were alone, and the burden it placed on the healthcare workers. It was just so many things were magnified, and here we are. We did get through it. And the other thing that really is such an impact on me is that we're all one. How connected we are, like how it started and the whole entire world was affected. Like it didn't stay contained because of the world or political beliefs in that one country. It just, and that we were able to find a vaccine. And yeah, it was so many things from it. So gratitude. It's an interesting balance. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Karen. You mentioned something about that's very profound. Our encounter, our collective encounter with death. And there's something, while it was, I don't want to take away from the very real for people endured during that time, and it was horrific.
Yeah.
However, facing death is one of the most important things we can do on the spiritual path. If we can't not only make peace with death, but accept death as part of the natural way of things, come to see death as not an end, but merely just a transition, just like winter transitions into spring. If we can't come to that perspective, we're never going to be able to live our life with that degree of fullness that we owe this blessing that is our existence. And so there was a lot that came out of that. We were forced, and I talk about it in this book, right? We were forced to face that fear down of our own mortality.
Yes, and out of that, since I like so much to talk about dreams and creativity and how we can create our lives and connect with what our gifts are, that is really, really what life is about as well, and being able to share our gifts as we connect to them. So how can people reawaken their dreams? Maybe some that they set aside because they didn't think they would ever be possible.
Oh man, you can never, ever give up on your dreams. That's your spirit. Your dreams are your soul, right? We all have souls, this eternal reincarnating essence of who we really are. And our dreams are the crying out of our soul's mission, of our soul's destiny. And unfortunately, in this physical realm we inhabit, for reasons like the need to put food on the table, which we can all relate to, sometimes we have to shelve our dreams. But we can't do so for so long, because all that ends up doing, the longer we, the more we prolong following our dreams, the more something deep within our being feels off, a sense of not feeling fulfilled. So how can we get back in touch with our dreams? Well, putting ourselves in spaces that allows our natural free-flowing creativity, our like childhood essence, to reemerge. Because when we're children, we're not afraid to dream. You know what I'm talking about, Karen, and I'm sure your audience knows what I'm talking about. When you're a child, you're filled with dreams. But as we go along, we're taught, you know, come back to reality, don't dream. Well, one way we can, one thing we're learning, I think, as we go along in our evolution, is that we need to keep that inner child alive. And our inner child, if we tune into that, will naturally follow our dreams. And it's funny because as you sort of go along your journey, you realize that you think you're traveling on this linear path. I'm going from point A to point B. But really, as we talked about earlier, you're really going in like kind of a circle. And you come back to a return. Think about our whole journey. What it really is just, it's a return back to God. It's a return back to the source. It's a return back to the one, the oneness. And so I think it's really funny. In my own case, I've been chasing my dreams as of late, and they're the dreams I had when I was a kid that somehow got lost in the 25-year, 30-year hustle of trying to earn a living and stabilize myself. So I think to answer your question, tuning back into our inner child, we can't let that go. That's the source of our dreams. That's the source of our inspiration. That's our creativity.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And the more we can find calm and peace within ourselves, it's using meditations, music, the ways of breath work. And it's in those moments, because really our spirit whispers to us. It's not the shouting.
All the time.
And we can hear that. And it doesn't have to be our whole dream, like poof, it all happened at once. Every day we can take a step towards our dream and reclaim who we really are and our truth. And it just adds up. And there we are. More and more, we're going to be living our dream and sharing it. with others. I think it's so important because it gives us life. And that's what we're talking about, life. We're
Connection.
living, and yes, and with everyone.
And
So
I love what you just said too, Karen. You just mentioned so many beautiful practices that can help tune us back to the eternal essence of our inner spirit, which, is a mirror reflection of our inner child. And meditation. Oh my goodness. If you want to get a pulse on what your innermost dreams are, there's nothing better than silencing the mind and opening the heart, which meditation and prayer allow us to do. And also, I would say, nature. Spending as much time immersed in
definitely.
nature. There is something about it, the purity of creation when you're in nature. It doesn't matter. You could be swimming in the ocean, climbing a mountain, gardening, sitting on a park bench. It doesn't matter
Listening to the
how you
birds.
listening to the birds. So beautiful. And nature has a way of connecting you completely inwards, instilling your mind. And naturally, you become tuned to your innermost desires and dreams.
Yes, it's amazing. But what would you say for people who feel kind of content that their life is really okay? How could you encourage or give some thought about stepping into something even greater, even though they feel they're okay, that it could be even more spectacular, even more fun in their, they could have more fun in their lives?
Yeah, so what I'd say, contentment is not the expression of true inner peace, which is what we're after. So, first of all, I would start with asking that person or people, when you describe yourself as content, what does content really mean? Asking that question. And you'll get some you'll get an answer that might sound like the following. Well, life is okay. I have most things I need, but I guess my innermost dreams haven't really come true. But I'm content. Things are okay. And I would just ask that person to maybe expand themselves a little bit to believe that there's something greater than even contentment. You really can achieve inner peace. You really can achieve a sense of true fulfillment and happiness in this life right now, right where you are. It does take some work, though. It takes a lot of clearing of the mind. It takes a clearing out of any darkness that remains within you, an opening of the heart. That's all, which could be a lifetime's work.
There's that saying, do one thing every day that scares you.
Yes.
So if you're never afraid and you just repeat things where you feel really safe and fine, you might not even imagine what you're missing. So just try something out and see how it feels, which is
Try something
another,
else. Yes. I was going to say, try something. So somebody else I'd say was content. Question what the meaning of content really means. You'll see it's not synonymous with inner peace and true inner fulfillment. So how do you get inner peace and fulfillment? You need to expand your soul. Your soul craves expansion. And by that I mean deepening your relationship with living spirit. So unleashing your creativity.
yes, and
Finding new ways to connect with the Most High. For example, I thought I was content on my spiritual path. Yeah, everything was okay. It's going pretty good. There's some bad days, but a lot of good days. Everything's okay. And then I found chanting. And I started chanting every day. And oh my gosh, I realized, whoa, like you can go past contentment into full ecstatic bliss. Of course, it won't stay like that. I haven't gotten to the point yet where it can stay all the time. But it's, I find when I chant, kind of going back to some one of your themes in this show of using sound to heal, chanting for me took me beyond spiritual contentment to fulfillment. That's something that I actually get excited about every day. And so yeah, expansion, encouraging somebody who feels like they're content to expand the way that they're used to connecting with living spirit and truth.
And I'm not suggesting that people look for suffering or things that might feel could harm them in what they do have, but excitement, like wonder, like, wow, that could be fun. And I think part of that is that as human beings, we really want those connections. We really aren't meant to live alone. And so let's explore about community and the role it plays in helping us grow and heal and expand.
Community, it teaches us so many things. One of the most profound things that community teaches us is it teaches us selflessness. It teaches us to expand beyond our own selfish desires and sense pleasures. Think about it, when you join a community, you're caring about the people around you. It's a lesson. Community is a lesson in, actually, what it really is, it's a lesson in selfless service. You're not trying to get any, in a true community, you're not trying to get anything from anybody for self-serving matters. Your only concern is to serve the people you love. So, community teaches you about selfless service. And of course, the goal is for what starts off as a small community, for as we grow in our spiritual evolution, we start to regard everybody as our community, as one people, as one, which you mentioned earlier.
And one thing that I think is at the center of it all is self-love. As we connect
Self-love.
to the divine and the reflection we are of the divine, it's when we feel full enough that we can share and that we can connect and we can give. But I found myself, if I was giving out of a need, because I felt I really, well, I love helping people, but sometimes it was at my own expense. And then you get kind of tired and the well runs a little dry. So it's not a way that we have to give up our contentment or peace or what we do love. It's more that as we connect, it can expand and become bigger. We're sharing it even larger in larger ways.
You got it. The more we practice self-love, and the more that we do, we clean out our shadows within ourselves. The more we cultivate true self-acceptance, letting go of shame, big one, then we fill ourselves up with light, which then can be shared with others. And that's where we're most effective in community, when we've cultivated, as you mentioned, Karen, that self-love. Because if we can't fill ourselves up with that love within ourselves, what do we have to share with anybody else? Nothing.
Right. It's kind
We
of
might as well
too
not even
thin.
engage with community.
Yeah. Then we're all missing out.
So we're all missing out. So community, yeah, it teaches us basically how to transmute the inspiring energy of self-love into an overflowing of selfless service
Oh,
towards
that's
others.
beautiful. And it's
That's
circular. I love circles.
it's
And
circular,
they don't,
it's
and
beautiful.
sometimes they jump a step, but then they come back, right? They don't, they're infinity, they don't end. Circles.
Exactly it.
Do you feel
And
that as a humanity, we're having a collective rebirth? And what would that mean to you?
oh, I think we're having a collective rebirth. In the last year, I've actually been sort of quietly referring to it as a spiritual revival.
Right.
Maybe you could possibly use even the term spiritual revolution, though I'm careful with that word because I don't want it to have
Right. Especially today.
political connotations. Let's keep it, let's go higher, right? And let's go
Yeah.
deeper. Let's go to the roots. So spirit, we'll use spiritual revival and just say that, yes, it looks right now, it looks bad. We have a lot of events on this plane of reality that looks like the world is escalating completely out of control into the realm of ego. But if we tune in, as I try to say in this book, right? As we tune in and we go beneath the surface a little bit, we get still enough to really hear what's going on and to really perceive what's going on around us. We see a bubbling of light that is rising to match that darkness and actually transmute that darkness into light. And I truly believe that we're seeing that now. Where do we see it? Well, look at something as simple as meditation. That was a considered fringe, you know, in the 1950s. It got more attention in the 60s and 70s, and then kind of went back underground during our kind of money grabbing period of the 80s, right? But look at today. Meditation is a household name. Everybody's showing some kind of interest in it. The number of
Right.
people who are into yoga, maybe Westernized yoga doesn't quite all the time hit the true essence of what the original practice was intended to be. However, just the mere fact that that many people are looking for inner peace, are looking for a little bit of calm and quiet in their lives, suggests that there's something going on right now that's worth paying attention to. The number of people, I mean, I've been going to these beautiful, Karen, these beautiful little spiritual conscious festival gatherings, maybe 4 or 5 a year. And I've played music at a couple of them and spoke at a couple of them and
Beautiful.
been just an attendee at other ones, which is just as beautiful. And I keep meeting these incredible beings who are just doing outstanding things, like it to raise consciousness. I can't even get into it. Somatic healers and chiropractors I've met at these gatherings, and herbalists and people creating song circles to promote peace and love and unity, and you just people moving off grid, you know, in order to reconnect with nature. I've met a lot of those people. People involved in absolutely inspiring acts of service to others and their communities. It's just mind-boggling to meet these people. There is something happening here. And I think during moments of a great spiritual revival, it usually takes escalating darkness to spark that. And we have quite a bit of darkness, but it's serving as a catalyst for light. You know, it's funny. In this plane, we get really lost in dark is over here, and light is over here, and so on's over here, and something's over here. The duality of it all. But in actuality, what I see happening is the dark and the light are intertwining together to give birth to this movement of consciousness that we're currently seeing. Without the darkness, we would not be having this, what I would call an evolution in spiritual consciousness. So
That's so
I see
beautiful.
that happen.
Yeah, thank you so much. Could you help people, perhaps they're not in this world of alternative things and energy, give a basic 101 thoughts or definition of collective consciousness?
Collective consciousness would just be basically the vibrations or energy. It would be our how about this? It's the vibrations that we're collectively giving off to the world that results from the state of our thoughts, of our intentions, and of our actions.
And through our hearts
And through our hearts, absolutely,
and
through our hearts.
spirit from
Yeah, through our
above.
hearts and spirit. And the vibrations are constantly undergoing, how about this? We just say different frequencies
Yes.
of consciousness. And I would argue that what we're seeing right now, again, it's cyclical. We're you know, that for example, the Hindus believe that we are constantly in cyclical fashion moving between dark ages and between ages of light and enlightenment. And so presumably during those dark ages, we could be said to the collective consciousness, basically the vibrations, the vibratory nature of our thoughts, intentions, actions, and then what is beating through our hearts is maybe lower in the lower realms. In other words, during the darker realms, that is, we're more
Fear,
obsessed. Yeah, fear and hatred and division
anger.
and anger and selfishness. It matters about me, you know, greed, lust, right? Those lower vibration. We could just say simply chakras, you know, chakras 1 through 3, you know, like the lower chakras. And then when we go into the higher, when we go into a higher collective consciousness, we're moving up our energy into a more positive spiritual way of being, which is, you know, the opposite of all those things we mentioned. It's
Awareness, awakening, love and peace
faith,
and
hope,
bliss.
bliss. I love that,
Yes.
Karen. Yes, you got it. That's so beautiful.
Go for it.
And wisdom and love and compassion and service and unity, right? That's what we're,
Joy.
that's joy. Oh my gosh, enjoy. Joy. You know, Karen, it's so funny how I think there's almost a conspiracy in mainstream media outlets in the mainstream world to try to sort of like convince us that we're not worthy of experiencing joy, that life has to be an uphill battle constantly. And yes, adversity plays its part, and it's very important in our spiritual growth, instrumental in our spiritual growth. But we have a right as spiritual beings to experience joy now in this moment.
Yes, and to bring back the message of dreams and renewal, as we connect, the collective consciousness also gives us this outlet so that when we have peace and we have this higher energy, when we send it out to the world, it really does make a difference because everyone that's sending it brings peace to all the places, including to ourselves. So it's a way that we can just have that hope within when, especially when we hear the news, it's so discouraging, like, what can I do? What we can do is really resonate with the positive, with answers, with the joy and with other people that we can share that with in whatever communities that we could find or develop. So we're going to take a quick break, and I'm really excited to learn more about some of your meditation practices and so many more things. So thank you.
Thank you.
Imagine an experience where world-class music meets the power of sound, miracles, and transformation to release stress, dissolve subconscious blocks, and reconnect you with your highest self. That's what happens when you work with Karen Olson, Billboard's top musician, intuitive sound healer, and best-selling author. Her private sessions and Elevation Pathways programs have helped thousands of people worldwide transform their lives, finding freedom from stress, clarity of purpose, and a deeper connection to their true self and their dreams. As a special gift for Sound Pathways listeners, when you book a session, you'll receive a personalized sound meditation recording to continue your transformation at home. Limited spots are available. Book your session now at KarenOlson.com/services. Your path begins with sound.
Can you show us your book? What your book looks
Yeah,
like?
absolutely. Yeah, boom. New book.
Beautiful.
And we just actually changed recently the title. Of the well, the title is still the same, Humanity's Spiritual Rebirth,
The
but we
tagline.
wisdom to transform struggles into strength.
I
It
love
was called,
that.
and the reason I did that, the title I changed, it used to be Humanity's Spiritual Rebirth. Oh, my light went off
Oops.
for a
And
second.
you mentioned the pandemic in the tagline.
Humanity's Spiritual. Let me one minute. My
Oh,
light went off. My
we need
light went
light.
off
We
here.
need light. Let's send you
We need
energy for
light.
light.
We need light.
Yes, let there be
Imagine.
light. All right.
I'm so sorry.
No problem.
Okay, I'm not sure
We
what
have to
happened.
reconnect, right?
Reconnect. Okay, so when I originally wrote the book, it was really meant to be about the pandemic. And then I realized as I was writing it, and a year went by, 2 years went by, I was like, wait a minute, this is something that we should be taking with us for any personal crises or collective crises that we may face. And so I thought I would change it to wisdom to transform struggles into strength, to say we can take all these lessons from the pandemic and take this with us moving forward. So it almost becomes like a living and breathing
And
piece of
I'd
work.
like to take it even further. And I didn't know about your change there, even though we are talking about that. But for some people, I know it's not the majority, some people don't have a life of struggle, but they still want to grow. And I remember I had to let go of that belief, especially with my music. I could go so deep because I've had so many different challenges and struggles, and it would make my music so deep that I thought I had to continue that going or I would lose that. But it isn't true. We don't have to have struggles in order to have a very deep understanding and knowledge and our growth. We can find it just through our seeking and through our desire to expand our curiosity. So, and your book, it has, as you mentioned, the reflections and meditations at the end of each chapter. Could you share one of them with us now? One of your exercises.
A meditation exercise.
I
Yeah,
love that.
I would be happy
Thank you
to
so
share.
much.
Okay, so I'm gonna actually gonna read or
Great.
lead a meditation to it's basically a type of loving kindness meditation, and I do this quite frequently, and it's one of the meditations in the book, if
Great.
that's okay.
I love it. Yes.
All right, so what I'd like everybody to do, and your listeners can follow along here, this is I'd like everybody to find a comfortable position, seated either upright or with legs crossed. Now, I'd like you to close your eyes and tune into your breath. So let's breathe in through our nose and out through our mouth. Long, slow, deep breaths. Now, as you inhale and exhale, I'd like you to think of someone you know who needs love and healing. Now, bring an image of that person or being to your mind. And imagine sending a healing golden light directly from your own heart to theirs. So I want you to breathe in slow. Breathe in that golden light. And then I want you to breathe out on your out breath and picture that light going to that being in need of healing. Now picture that golden light being received and spreading through every crevice of that being's body as waves of healing love. Continue transferring this golden light energy. So you're breathing in the light, breathing the light back out to that being. And I want you to repeat the following mantra as you do so. I send you light. I send you peace. I send you healing. I send you light. I send you peace. I send you healing. And if it helps as you do this, you can even place your hand on your heart. Now try to bring your mind to a being who you feel has wronged you or with whom you have had a conflict with. No matter how painful or uncomfortable it may be, hold an image of that person in your mind as you repeat the same process of sending golden light from your own heart directly to theirs. As you do so, repeat again this mantra. I send you light. I send you peace. I send you healing. Now begin to direct this healing golden light to anyone else who you may be in your house or apartment with you, parents, friends, lovers, pets, and of course, if you're by yourself right now, send that golden light to yourself. Extend this golden light to them or yourself and repeat the mantra again. I send you light. I send you peace. I send you healing. Now continue to gradually extend that light to people in your neighborhood, community, your county, your state, your nation. And finally, imagine the radiant golden light both circling and permeating the entire world as you sit in outer space looking down at the glorious planet that you and billions of other beings call home. Finally, let's end this meditation by sending this golden light to yourself, to your inner essence, to your own soul, with a wave of self-love and repeat these words. I send myself light. I send myself peace. I send myself healing. One more time. I send myself light. I send myself peace. I send myself healing. Now I'd like you to open your eyes, take a few deep breaths, and rest in knowing that your heart and soul has been healed through the power of prayer.
Thank you so much. It's very powerful and really renewing, which we're talking about today. And I want to thank everyone that's part of the SoundPath community. And I know some people might be driving or whatever, and know that you're being sent light and peace and healing and love. And there's so many more things I'd like to talk to you about, the nature and the cycles of rebirth and your Eastern and Native influences and just self-empowerment, so many things, but I think we'll have to save it for next time. And meanwhile, how can listeners connect with you and buy your book and just learn more and more about you and your wisdom?
Well, thank you so much. And I would love to have a part two with you, Karen. It's been a blessing.
Such a huge blessing. Thank you so much.
You can find me on my website, www.forestrivers2rs.com. You can connect with me on Facebook. Just type in Forest Rivers author page. And I also have a newly formed YouTube channel. And you can just type in either Forest Rivers, or you can type in Mystic Soul Revival with Forest Rivers, and either will show up.
Beautiful. And I want to emphasize it's Forest.
Yep.
Rivers.
Got it.
Yes. To be
and
sure.
I just, before I end today too, I just wanted to say, again, this has been a blessing to be here.
Thank you.
And I just want to say too, that everything that flows through us comes from a source that's greater than us. So it's not really us doing anything at all. It's a higher power. It's a divine intelligence that's working through us. So we should always remember that. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, your heart, and your presence with us. And renewal really is about rediscovering our dreams and building a community. And for everyone listening, carry forward with hope-filled renewal. Support each other and embrace new beginnings. Walk in harmony, light, and renewal with blessings and love. Until next time, namaste.
Thank you for being a part of Sound Pathways with Karen Olson, where music and healing come together to open new pathways in your life. Relax and renew with Karen's award-winning music, crafted to soothe your spirit and uplift your heart. Available wherever you stream your favorite music. Ready for deeper transformation? Book your personalized healing session today at KarenOlson.com/services and receive a custom sound meditation designed just for you. Join our vibrant community. Stay engaged with our free newsletter filled with exclusive offers and practical tips, even powerful tools to support you on your journey. Until next time, keep following the sound of inspiration and live the path of your dreams.